Thank you for coming together tonight to learn together. I am overwhelmed by the numbers of people that are coming together to learn, and I'm very appreciative, and I thank you for letting me be a part of it. I understood from Rabbi Bernstein that we're dedicating this learning and the Limudim now in the memory L'Nishmas Dr. Lam. I personally have a debt of gratitude to Rabbi Lam because he hired me. And I have the privilege of teaching every single day, Baruch Hashem, and probably the privilege of meeting with you this evening and learning together with you this evening is all due to Rabbi Lam. And really, there are no words that a person can express for that privilege to be able to be in the Beis HaMedrash every day for hours and hours. It was a situation that Rabbi Lam would have preferred to do himself. And he sacrificed that in order to run the yeshiva. When Rabbi Lam first came to yeshiva, he had to make the yeshiva solvent. And the fear that was in the Jewish community's heart because the banks were putting tremendous pressure on yeshiva was very real. And I still remember one of Rabbi Lam's first speech. I remember a lot of his speeches, but he didn't become the president to close yeshiva. And he fought valiantly, and his days and nights were, he would have rather been in the Beis HaMedrash, but he understood that his calling was to create yeshiva, to create the yeshiva that we know it to be, to provide so much of the hashkafa of yeshiva. Because under Rabbi Lam, the approach to Torah Mada became much clearer and much more mandate of the yeshiva to maintain the Masorah of the Rav. There are many, many parts of our yeshiva that we take for granted, but very much Rabbi Lam's insistence, and most likely that we're learning now what I hope is going to be on a high level, Bezer Hashem. That was one of the many, as you know, was one of the many mandates of Rabbi Lam to raise the level of learning for women at the highest level. So let's discuss the topic of Amira Lenachri, the Isra of Amira Lenachri. We are most familiar with Amira Lenachri as a leniency, as something which helps us. For me, one of the definitive statements of Amira Lenachri, and this will become much clearer at the end of our shir, is one that Rabbi Reisman, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah V'Das and a Rav in Brooklyn, he said that when he was growing up, Amira Lenachri was a prohibition, was an Iser. And now he sees that Amira Lenachri is a kul, as a heter. So that is a very important statement that we will understand together at the end of tonight's shir. So we come across Amira Lenachri, the prohibition of asking a goy to do things for us. We come across it usually as a technique, as a mechanic to help us negotiate a situation. So for example, probably the time that we come across Amira Lenachri, most blatantly, it's if God forbid somebody's ill. If a person, let's take the situation where a person is pikuach nefesh, a person is, God forbid, in a situation where his life is being threatened. And aloha, as you know, is when a person's life is being threatened on Shabbos, so there's the din of pikuach nefesh is doche Shabbos. The din of pikuach nefesh overrides Shabbos. However, there is a discussion amongst the poskim whether Shabbos is hutra or Shabbos is dechuya. When we say that Pikuach Nefesh takes precedence over Shabbos, does that mean that Shabbos becomes like Tuesday? Or does that mean that we still try to negotiate the halacha so that we minimize the what would be the Chil of Shabbos? It's not Chil of Shabbos because it's to save somebody's life, but the trappings of Chil of Shabbos. So the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef seems to paskin that Shabbos is Hutra, but the Ramah paskins that Shabbos is Dechuya, which means that we try as much as we can to negotiate Shabbos to keep both Shabbos and the Mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh. So the easiest way to negotiate that is to reduce the violation of Shabbos would be an Issa de Rabbanan as opposed to an Issa de Raisa. So if somebody's Rachmanu Litzlan is in a life-threatening situation, he goes into cardiac arrest, God forbid he has a stroke, he gets diagnosed Rachmanu Litzlan with COVID, and he has trouble breathing, so then we have to get him to the hospital. So it's mutter for me to drive. Driving is an Issa de Raisa. Every time you drive a car, or you put your foot on the pedal, you're igniting a small fire. So it's an Issa de Raisa. If you have a purely electric car, maybe the Ravana, we have to talk about it sometime. But in a regular car or in a hybrid car, it's a de Raisa. No, de Raisa is mutter. But if I can be as effective in saving this person's life, if I will not waste any time at all in saving this person's life by having a non-Jew drive, so then I commission the non-Jew to drive without any machination. I just say, I have to get to the hospital. I'm going with him. Could you drive us? So I call an Uber and hope that it is a Yehudi responds. I call a cab. I hope it's an any Yehudi responds. So in all of those cases, Amira Lenachri, I am in violation of Nisid Rabbanan. I'm not in violation of Nisid Rabbanan because I'm saving somebody's life, but I am reducing the possible violation of a deraisa, which would be mutter. But since the Kadosh Baruch Hu said that, according to the Ravah, that if we can reduce the violation of Shabbos, we should do so. So we ask God to take care of us, take care of it for us. There is a very important caveat in that. And that is that the Rambam writes that we have to be very careful that when we negotiate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, that we don't send the wrong message. That if, let's say, a person, God forbid, in Shul, gets into a situation, a cardiac situation, and we have to call, he faints in Shul, we call 911, we call the cab, we call the non-Jewish caretaker to drive him to the hospital. So now we have to be afraid that the whole shul thinks you cannot be Mechal Shabbos if somebody is in a life-threatening situation. They think you have to get a goy. So the Rambam says, be very careful. The Rambam says, no, better to violate the Shabbos, agodol, should violate the Shabbos over the age of our mitzvah. Why? Because we need to send the message that pikuach nefesh is the Shabbos. We can't send the wrong message. If we send the wrong message now, then God forbid, later on down the road, somebody gets into cardiac arrest, and they say, I remember that when this happened in Parshas Baloischa, they called the goy, gotta call the goy. They didn't realize that in Parshas Baloischa, the goy was next door. They didn't realize that then by Parshas Baloischa, the doctor said, you can wait 5 minutes, call the guy. But now it's already years and years later, and it's in the middle of Vayikra. See, then the guy's not there. Then you don't have a doctor telling you. So then you have to jump in the car and take this person to the hospital. But that's where we come across the idea that Amira Lenachri is an Issa de Rabbanan. But we would much rather be in violation of an Issa de Rabbanan. Similarly, if you have a case of a chole she'ein bo sakana, a person who's not in a life-threatening situation, but he's not falling mishkav, he's not feeling, he's lying, he's not functioning, he can't get out of bed. He feels, or she feels so terrible. It's not a headache, it's a migraine. It's a headache that they can't function. It's a flu that they can't function. And we can help them feel better, but I don't have any medicine. I have to go to the pharmacy to get the medicine. I can ask a goy to get it. Because for a chole she'ein bo sakana, we can violate the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon, which is the first Rabbanon, the first Issa de Rabbanon, our first resort is Amir Lenachri, because there are other Issa de Rabbanon. If I do something by Yeshiva, it's an Issa de Rabbanon. But by a Goy, I'm not involved. I'm less involved. So to do a Melachon Shabbos via a non-Jew is the preferable de Rabbanon to do. So again, I can violate Shabbos. But if I can accomplish the same, I will not lose anything in the helping of this person, in the therapy, in the curing of this person by having a non-Jew drive. And then the Alter Rebbe says, and you give a clap and you should announce to everybody, you should know, the only reason that I'm not driving myself is because the doctor said I can wait a few minutes till the goy take. Only reason I'm driving myself is because the goy is a better driver, because he'll get to the person, he'll get to the hospital faster than I. I'm going to be nervous. I'm only doing this because it's better for the chayla. The Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, he says that you have to be concerned about this Rambam, and therefore you have to make an announcement to make sure that one does not give off the wrong impression. Now a chayla she'ein bo sakana, he's not, his life is not in danger, but he's very, very, very shvach, as we say. He's very, very ill. He's lying down. He's not functional. We can ask a goy to help us get the medicine or any kind of therapy. Person, during the winter, the furnace is broken. So we say, our kol choyle meitzel tzina. When it gets cold, everybody is in a, if you have certainly older people, it's very clear that they could be in a life-threatening situation. And the furnace breaks, and we try to negotiate it by going to a home where the furnace is working. But meikar adin, we can ask a non-Jew to fix the furnace, to fix the heat. So if it's a cold, it's a freezing day, and the people are sick, they put on a coat, they're still freezing. There are posts who will say the same thing is true for air conditioning. If it's a hot, blistery day, and the air conditioning is off, and all I need to do is ask an any hoodie, please come in and turn on the air conditioner. Without any stories, we'll get to it. Without any hints, because I have a person here, I have an older person, or people are chalishing, as they say. People are dehydrating. People are feel very, very, not just uncomfortable, but they feel that they can't fully function. They can't learn. They can't read. They're just wowing. So then ask a non-Jew to come in and put in the air conditioning. That would be even go a step further. It's also important to know that since Samir al-Nachri is an Isir de Rabbanon, that if I ask a goy to do another Isir de Rabbanon, we call that a shvus to shvus, a double derabbanon, meaning that it's really mutter for two reasons. And Chazal said, afal pikein, don't do it. And that's mutter l'tzarech mitzvah. So let's say the air conditioning is off, and I have a dining room full of people, and they're not going to have any Shabbos. They're going to be sitting around saying, when is this meal going to be over? Because in my home, the air conditioning is going, right? There's shalom bias all over the place. Every husband is saying to his wife, why did you accept this invitation? I didn't want to go to this place. Didn't you know they don't have the air conditioning on? And so they have a lot of tzarchei mitzvah going on around the table. So then you can ask a goy to turn on the air conditioning. Why? Because asking the goy is a drabbanon. Turning on the air conditioning is also a drabbanon. Turning on a bun for electricity, that's we usually assume it's a drabbanon. There are people much greater than I that say it's not a drabbanon. Rosh Weiss, the Gedolei Hador, says electricity is a din d'oraisa. But he also holds that he knows that there are many others who hold differently. So electricity is probably nisa drabbanon. Asking a goy is a nisa drabbanon. So asking a goy to do a drabbanon is a double drabbanon. So that would be mutil tzarech mitzvah. And having, when oynik Shabbos is clearly being sacrificed, you look around the room and everybody's schwitzing and they are upset that they're there. And then the host is also going to not have a, it's going to, won't have any oynik Shabbos then. So that would be mutter to ask a non-Jew to do a derabbanon. Another common situation, the one forgets to turn off the lights or to hit the Shabbos mode in the fridge. All of a sudden it's Friday night and you realize all your food is in the fridge, as it's supposed to be, right? And you realize you didn't hit Shabbos mode. You realize that when you open the door, the light's going to go on. So you can ask a non-Jew, why can you ask a non-Jew? A milanachri is osir. Because what's really osir there? To open the door, nothing wrong with opening a door. But when you open the door, the light's going to go on. That's what we call a psikresha. And that will be a psikresha when the light goes on. So that is a milanachri for a psikresha. Someone's allowed to ask a goy to do a psikresha. Why is that? Because I'm not asking her to do a malacha. We're going to learn later on that the Iser of Amira Lenochri is asking a goy to do a malacha, and that's Mizalz on my Shabbos. Here, I'm asking a goy to do a non-malacha. It so happens if malacha happens. So for me, Kadosh Baruch Hu said that's called psikresha. That's like one long ma'isa, that's osir. But to ask a goy to do a psikresha, Reisha, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says Osir, but many people say it's Mutter. Shechter Shlita says it is Mutter. So that's how we would follow that Amira Lanoch. Besides, in that particular case, nowadays all lights are probably LED lights. They're also probably Drabonans. So it becomes, again, a double Drabonan. Okay, I will be watching the chat over here. So if anybody has a question as we go along, you could motion me, but I only see a certain number. But if you ask in the chat, I will try to double task and see if I can pick it up at the same time. We had a situation, another halacha of my situation, which will give us a principle in halacha. Nowadays, when women go to mikveh, so we sanitize and disinfect all the rooms after every single one goes to mikveh. All right, we slow down the process. We make appointments. We have a very, very tight situation, tight protocol in place that we worked out with various experts in infectious diseases. And we have a tight situation. But one of the situations is, one of the rules that we have to clean the room in its entirety between every woman. Okay? Now we had Yom Tov, we had Shavuos. So women come to Mikvah and Shavuos. So we're going to have to ask the non-Jewish maintenance people to come in on Shavuos, come in Yom Tov. They're going to drive in Yom Tov, and then they're going to clean the rooms in Yom Tov. Driving is an Iser Deraista, and cleaning the rooms probably in there someplace will be for sure Drabbonans, but maybe even a Deraista, if squeezing might be, but somewhere in there, there's certainly a lot of Malachas go in when one cleans. Is it Mutter or not? Amir Lanachmi, I'm asking a guy to come in on Yom Tov in order to be able to make sure that our women can go to mikveh. I wouldn't call it pikuach nefesh, because the alternative would be to have the women come 2 days later. It's not very good. We don't like doing that. We hesitate very, very much. Yeshua, one of the first averus that Yeshua is held accountable by, which is one of the first. There's an episode in Yeshua where a malach comes to him, and the malach criticizes Yeshua. Exactly what he criticized him for is not clear. So the Gemara explains that either he made the war effort go longer than it had to. He made the people stay at one night longer, so they couldn't learn. They lost a night of Talmud Torah. So therefore, the malach came to him and said, Atobosi, I came now because you chayiv misa, because he stopped Klal Yisrael from learning for one night. But another pshat is that because he kept the soldiers on the front longer than he had to, that means he delayed the husbands and wives being together. So delaying a night of mikvahs, the rabbi takes it extremely seriously. It's not something we do lightly, that we spend hours and hours to be able to figure out. However, in this, it's not pikuach nefesh. So in this case, can we ask a non-Jewish help to come in, drive in, and clean the rooms in between every single woman who's going to mikveh? So we were matir it. So one of my colleagues pointed out, why we matir it? Because there is a position that the Ramah quotes from the Itur. And this is a position that we very rarely follow, but we have to keep it in mind for difficult situations. The Iter holds that one is allowed to ask a goy to do a melacha if it is for the way that we follow the Iter is if it's for the public to do a mitzvah. For a tzibur to do a mitzvah, you can ask a mila nachri. Historically, the practice used to be that by ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, it was getting darker and darker and darker. People could not read. And so the minhag would be that a non-Jew would come in and light the candles so they could read the machzorim by ne'ilah. So why were they makel on this? Because the Iter says lighting candles are deraisa. So it's asking a goy to do a deraisa. What's the heter? Heter is, Emes says it's also. There is an Iter, the remote quotes, that when the tzibur needs a mitzvah, right? The classic example is if the eruv falls down. The tzibur needs a mitzvah. So we can ask a goy to do a malacha. So we very, very follow that approach. It's one of the coolest, one of the leniencies which the Ramah says points it out and then says, but we are very hesitant because it is not an agreed upon position. It is, the Iter is one of the great Mishonim, but you don't really hear the Iter too often in a Shir. So that means he wasn't not one of the poskim that we quote frequently. And this position is, we call a non-mainstream position. Nevertheless, when there is a Tzarchi Rabim, when the error falls down, it could be that the rabbi will say, this is a situation where we do rely on the Iter. So when it came to this situation, so women could come to mikveh, and that they would have the confidence that the mikveh is up and running, and we're following all due protocol. So then we thought it was permissible to ask the Einu Yehudi to come in and facilitate the ongoing going to mikveh. And with the Ne'ila case, so that was a common practice. The Note of Yehuda, Yecheskel Lando of Prague, when he came to Prague and he saw people who were doing this, he had a very, very hard time with it. He was very, very upset by it. And he said that, how could it be that on the Yom HaKodesh of Yom Kippur, we're going to be Samech on this position of the Iter? So he fought back, he pushed back. He said, better to daven Ne'ila earlier. He said, better not to say the piyutim by Ne'ila, not the Yom Kippur, to be Samech and Adas Yochim. Okay, that was how this became, this shita became something that postgame. Sometimes you had a situation where the air conditioning in the shul goes, and it's Shabbos morning, and it can be a regular Shabbos morning and the place is full, or it can be somebody's having a simcha and the place is full, and now there's no air conditioning in the whole shul. So first of all, people are going to get dehydrated. So that's one reason to ask a non-Jew. The other reason is it's a tzorchei rabin tzorchei tzibur. After a while, people can't daven. They're not going to be davening. All they're going to think about is they're schwitzing. And so that could be a case where we would ask a goy to turn on the air conditioning. Again, it's probably the rabbanon, may not be in such a large building, but that would be a case we would say tzorchei rabim, tzorchei mitzvah, and it's also the tzorchei parnosa, because you make a big simcha, and the rabbi can't find the way of getting the air conditioning on, so he might be out of a job. So there's a little bit of a parnosa there also issue. But that would not be a reason to be mekel. Now another situation, the classic case that, and I said, look at the chat, the okay, so let's backtrack for a moment. The question is, why do we allow to violate a din derabbanon for a chola she'ein basakona? In other words, the point is, Shabbos comes and goes, the guy's going to be alive. So if he's going to be alive, so let's why violate a din derabbanon? The answer is because Chazal have a rule. They said, b'mokoyim tzar goes with bei rabbanon. When Chazal added on halachos, they specifically said that there are certain parameters which they established their halachos. They said, here we are here to protect the mitzvahs of Torah, but we do not establish any derabbanons if it's going to cause tzar. They held themselves back. Now, obviously, it's not, they did establish fast days. You can't say there are no fast days, but there they davka established it to have a little bit of tzar. But other than situations where they established halacha davka to cause a little bit of difficulty, so they stepped back and they said, "B'mokim tsar, we're not imposing our dinim derabbanon." So therefore, when a person is a chaylish ein basakona and he's nofal mishkav and she's out, she can't function, she's lying down. So Chazal said, we did not intend to have that our prohibitions should give anybody any tsar. So that's why when they made their din, they already built into it this flexibility. Now, one of the other situations that we are lenient and ask a non-Jew to do malacha for us is when it's a daita d'nafshoi, when the non-Jew is doing it for themselves. They're not really doing it for me. I benefit, but they're really doing it for themselves. A daita d'nafshoi. He's not doing it for me. In the Yiddish literature, so the classic example is that when the lights off in the room, so how are you going to get the light? In the Yiddish literature, lights through, they rise it probably because they put candles on. So how do you get the lights on in Shabbos? Lights are going out. So you can't ask a non-Jew. It's a mila nochri. So you ask the non-Jew to come in and celebrate with you and have a l'chaim with you and have a schnapps with you. Because it used to be, an important aside, it used to be that Jews looked down upon people who drank. And that should be the way Klal Yisrael should still be that way. But we've lost a little bit of what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. So it used to be, you drink mamash a little bit of l'chaim, mamash a taste at a kiddush for a simcha. But other than that, the idea of drinking, that was for non-Klal Yisrael members. We have to get back that refined practice of Klal Yisrael. Mitzvah Shem, we will get back. But so that's the Yiddish literature. How do you get an Eina Yehudi to come in and turn on your light? How do you make it attractive? You're asking here, have a l'chaim. I just got a nice bottle. I just got, and so then the Eina Yehudi says, good. But he said, you know what? But I can't find it because I have no lights. No problem. I can take care of that. I'll turn on your lights for you. So there he's turning the lights not for me. He's turning the lights for himself because he wants to be able to benefit. So that's a daitin of shoy, right? Why does this come in the Yiddish literature? It comes up because he always turns off the light on his way out. That's the reason why the story is told. So so that would be a daitin of shoy. He's doing it for himself. I need my car. I have my cars to be repaired. Now, I can't ask a non-Jew to repair my car in Shabbos. It's a mila nachri, also. Can I bring it to the Eino Yehudi on a Friday? Well, so if I bring it to him 10 minutes before Shabbos, and I say, please have it ready Mitzvah Shabbos, absolutely not. I'm asking him to fix my car in Shabbos. That's awesome. But if I bring it to him Friday morning, and he says, I'm so busy, I will not get to this till Shabbos. He'll say, look, I'm leaving you Friday morning. Fine, whatever's good for you, take care of it. When can I pick it up? Mitzvah Shabbos, you can have it. Good, so I'll come by an hour or two after Shabbos. So in that case, he can do whatever he wants. It's in his benefit to do his other customers on Friday and to do in Shabbos. That's a daitin of shoy. If you have a car that is very recognizable, you get a very recognizable license plate, so then it would be awesome because there's a maris ayin that everybody passes by and they see. They know that there used to be something that was called a Rebbe car. They don't have these so often nowadays, Baruch Hashem. When I was growing up, what was a Rebbe car? Rebbe car was a car that was maybe 10, 15 years old, and it had Baruch Hashem four tires, but it was held together with rubber bands and they didn't pay their Rebbe, so now Baruch Hashem, people in Chinuch could pay very nicely. In those days, they didn't get paid so well. So the joke was the only guys who couldn't get their cars fixed in Shabbos were the rabbis because everybody knew a Rebbe car. They knew how that looked. But if it's a regular car, so you bring it to the repair and he says, you could tell him, look, I don't need this till Monday morning. You know, in your mind, having it on Sunday would be good because Sunday wanted to, the couple things you have to do. But you tell the end of you, the Monday morning is fine. He says, I can take care of it in Shabbos for you. He said, look, so you tell him, Monday morning is fine. Let me know when it's ready. But Monday morning is fine. So then it's a daitin nafshoy. And I'm not talking about winking. I'm not talking about that every single, once a month, they bring my car in on Friday. And he knows the nusach. He got the playbill. And he says, oh, I have to tell the from Jew that it'll be, he'll tell me Monday. I'll fix it on Shabbos. No, that doesn't work. That's called a remez, and that's awesome. In other words, to bring your car into the Eino Yehudi and you have a code. Right? The code is, I say Monday morning, I want it Mitzvah Shabbos. Please drop off the key in my mailbox. That's a code. That's a remez. That is osur. Osur leramez. That just means we speak a milanochri language. That's osur. That you can't do. Right? Rav Shechter pointed out many times that a person, sometimes he used to make an arrangement that when they would go into a building, the Eino Yehudi would go get the elevator. So, if one works it out based on double drabon tzarech mitzvah, that's one way of looking at it. But if Shechter said to think that you are doing, that it's not a milu nachri, because he sees you, he goes to the elevator, he gets the elevator for you, and then at December 25th, he gets a big tip, that's called a code. That's called a different language. That's not called a milu nachri. That's also, you can't set up a code system. But if it's genuine, that I really, it's the first time we're discussing this. So Monday is Monday. Monday's not So then if it's a car which is not clearly recognizable, then I could give it to him on a Friday, and we could arrange to get it on Monday. And if he gets it ready for me on Shabbos, that is a daita dinav shoy. That's his decision. I have somebody in my house on a Shabbos or Yom Tov. And I work it out in a way that there is no miral and nachri, let's say. In other words, they stay with me. It's a waiter or waitress that I offer them to stay in my house on Shabbos. Right? Let's say I have a big crowd coming for a Yom Tov meal. So I want to have a waiter or waitress, or you want to give a treat to your husband wants to give you a treat, so the order is a waiter or waitress. So how can that be? It means that you're asking them to come on Shabbos. Maybe they live nearby, so they can walk over. They decide to take a car, that's the Mir L'Nachri. That's a Daitan of Shoy. That's on their own. That's their own cheshbon. Or I say, look, it'd be great if you could stay over. I have a room downstairs, private facilities, very comfortable. It's air conditioning, heat, everything. And they say, thank you very much, but I'd rather go home. So then that might also be a daita nafshoi. When they drive in Shabbos, they're doing it for themselves. So now they're in the house. So they want to do the dishes between lunch and supper. There are a lot of dishes to do for lunch. So they want to use the hot water in Shabbos. So then I can say to them, look, when I clean dishes on Shabbos, I use cold water, right? They want to use a dishwasher. So then you say, and on the Sabbath, I don't use a dishwasher. Now, if they, and I'm perfectly fine with doing it in the sink, hand washing, cold water, hot water, and they say, but I don't have to keep the Sabbath. That's why I'm here. So can I use your dishwasher? So then you can say, if it's fine with me, you can use the dishwasher. I don't need, as far as I'm concerned, there's a way to do this without using the electricity. But you want to use electricity? She's doing it for herself. So that would be mutter. It wouldn't be mutter to run the dishwasher when people are around, but that's for a different reason. That's because we have a rule of Avshur Milsa, that I cannot organize something on Shabbos to happen that's very, very noisy and very not Shabbostic, right? I can't have, even with a timer, I can't have something go on Shabbos, which is going to be very, very like a noisy electric appliance on a timer, because that's considered to be taking away from Shabbos. It's called Avshur Milsa. See, creates the noise of Chilul Shabbos. So I couldn't have my, if we're all eating the dining room, she can't run the dishwasher in the kitchen because that's Avshur Milsa. But if we're all at a shul, and she is, again, that's a separate question, separate shir. What's she doing in the kitchen if you're out in shul? But that's not tonight's topic. So, and she runs the dishwasher, so that would be a daita nafshoi. So when she's doing something for herself, that would be, or he's fixing the car for herself. Now, is it mutter to pay an Eina Yehudi on Shabbos for their work? So the answer is, the question is, that a Jew cannot get paid for working on Shabbos, right? That you can't work, that you can't, we can't get paid for doing things on Shabbos. So whenever we do something on Shabbos and there is payment for it, it always has to be the havla, right? In other words, if a rabbi gets paid to speak on Shabbos, so he's getting paid for the preparation of speaking on Shabbos, right? Or he's on a retainer. He's not getting paid for this particular speech on Shabbos. So if I take care of somebody's children on Shabbos, so I can't get paid. However, if I have somebody working for the shul to take care of all the children on Shabbos, to run programs, so I can pay them, but I pay b'havla. And it doesn't mean, it's not a game that I'm paying them for their preparation on Tuesday and I'm not paying for Shabbos. No. It's that Chazal is saying that I am allowed to pay somebody for work on Shabbos if it's not clearly Shabbos money. I can't say you did this on Shabbos, here's your money. That is a zilzul on Shabbos. But to say you work Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday on Shabbos, you prepared Sunday, Monday, and you ran the program on Shabbos, I can pay you for all those days together because there's no money that says this is Shabbos money. So that is, but for an Yehudi, one can do that. One can pay Schar Shabbos for an Yehudi. Yeah. However, let's say this came up in the chat. Let's say that it's funny. I thought you said that somebody over here was referring to me in third person. It's very nice. I thought you were sending a message to somebody else. Okay, I realize it's addressed to me. Okay, thank you for the comment. So the ordering Amazon Prime Erev Shabbos. So let me. I don't want to say what I'm not that clear on, but let's say if you order something and the deal is you order Erev Shabbos and they deliver on Shabbos, that you can't do. In other words, there's certain FedEx arrangements where you go to the post office, you go to the UPS, and you can say, well, if I pay a certain amount, it goes tomorrow, and that would be a Mir L'Nachri because you're getting delivered on Shabbos. If, on the other hand, you can work out an arrangement where you say, to me, you can send whenever you want. If it gets there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, it's fine with me. And you don't negotiate with them. It has to be on Shabbos. So then, if you tell the guy behind I'm willing to pay the premium, but I don't need the premium service. So the guy will look at you as if you're. Some mishmat pay b'alma, but I need to know this. Either pay the premium, get the service, or don't. All right, but you can tell the guy, look, I don't care what box you put it in. All right, I'll pay the premium, but I will have no tainus against you. I'm not going to write a letter to your supervisor. You don't have to spell it out this way, but then you have to communicate. It gets Monday, Tuesday, is fine with me, right? So the government needs the money, COVID, they need the extra money. I'll do the premium amount, so that'll be okay. But if you have to sign that in order to get delivered on Shabbos, you have to pay a certain amount. Check, that's a problem. Because then you are commissioning it to be given to be... I don't know how Amazon Prime works exactly, but I think Amazon Prime, usually they give you a range of time.
Sometimes they give you options for which to choose. And if you buy kind of a larger service, then you might be able to get 2 days shipping for free. But they do give you an option of 1 day, 3 day, 2 day shipping options. If you're selecting those options, but have in mind Kavana that I don't want to, it doesn't matter to me. Is that the same as telling them that?
No, it has to be communicated. It has to be communicated. Yeah. It may be communicated and the person may not take note of it because that's a daita nafshoi. In other words, I'm telling you that I can get there Sunday or Monday. Now, it's in his best interest. Not he has to remember Neuberger's parcel. Can do it. No, he doesn't want to remember that. He wants to put in the box with all the other parcels. So that's a daita nafshoi. So that has to be communicated. Okay. Can you order something if it might come in Shabbos? That's okay. Yeah. Because that's again, it might come in Shabbos. That's not a problem. You didn't order that it should come in Shabbos. A little bit complicated. Okay, I'll get back to timers at the end of this year. If a youth leader, this is also not our topic, if a youth leader is only works for an hour in Shabbos, should they not be paid since it's not possible to say that they worked at other times? The answer is, I cannot imagine why one cannot work it out that one can do something during the week. In other words, if you work in Shabbos, there's some preparation that you can do, even if it just means reading a few articles online as to how to run a program in Shabbos. So there has to be some kind of preparation that if it's Shabbos morning and they come over to you and they say, we need something this afternoon, could you do this? Then you could not take money for it. That's correct. Then you could organize to do something on Sunday or Monday to the same group, or to do follow-up on Sunday or Monday. Again, it's not a haroma. You are allowed to receive funds for doing something in Shabbos, but it can't be uniquely associated with Shabbos. It has to be bavla with other things as well. Or a person can be in a retainer. In other words, a person can say that I'm not taking any other job this year so that I'm available to you on Shabbos. So then you're not getting paid for being there on Shabbos. You're getting paid for not taking on any other job. I could take a job on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I could do NCSY Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I'm not going to do that because what I would normally do in Shabbos, I'll do Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So I'm on a retainer, right? So the retainer one can do. One can, even though the work will be happening on Shabbos. If you sign up online, so you can get it 2 days later. Right, so the question is, if when you do it online, and it says that it's Thursday, and they get it on Thursday, and they could deliver it on Friday, but it's in their interest to deliver it on Shabbos, that's also okay. It's only if you sign up on Thursday, and they say that you have a choice of getting it next Wednesday for $5, right? Next Tuesday for $4. No, next Tuesday for $7. And this Shabbos for $8 that you can't do. I don't think you can do. If they say it will come within the next 2 days, so then you can do, because then they're deciding to bring it on Shabbos and you'd be happy to have it before Shabbos. It's a little bit tricky because let's say it's not anywhere near, but I don't know if you have to do that research to figure that out where the item actually is. So when it comes to a Shabbos delivery, that should be the same thing. Shabbos delivery also, when one orders a newspaper, so then one should also have the option of saying that, as far as I'm concerned, you don't need to send me a Shabbos delivery, right? Just want to find some option. Now, again, it's in their interest to bring it on Shabbos. First of all, the more papers they deliver, the better their ratings are and they sell more ads. It's really in their interest. But you still can't ask them to bring it on Shabbos. It's in their interest because they don't want to have to have a list of, 300 people get it 7 days a week, and there's one guy in Bergenfield who gets it 6 days a week. And they're much better off give the guy an extra newspaper. It doesn't really matter. So, but you have to indicate someplace that you don't need it on Shabbos, right? So however that is indicated, it's okay. And once it's indicated, then it's okay. Separate issue about whether the paper is mukhtar or not, but that depends if the paper is published on Friday night, and even then it's machlokes, poskim. But if it's published before, if it's printed before, then a lot of questions about packaging. And it's the sign of the times. A lot of questions about packages. It's supposed to come on Sunday. That's a good question. If you order the package for Sunday, so it has to be, is that really true? It could be that if it's Friday afternoon, then you can't order something for Sunday. But if it's if you order it Friday morning, it's possible. It's possible that it's a Friday morning and it's a Shabbos and it's a winter Shabbos, then there's no way for them to get it to you without a Chilul Shabbos. It's possible. It would be very, very rare. Because if anything is trucked, so might say Shabbos till Sunday morning, almost any place in the Eastern Seaboard you can get it. So it would be very rare. You'd have to either know that a rove of these things come from places that would require Chilul Shabbos. I think otherwise you can assume that that's not the case. One of the things we have to know, this is almost as common as getting packages. Would one be able to ask an Eino Yehudi to press the elevator for an elderly person? How'd they get down? That's the question. So for an elderly person, so they can't walk up the stairs. That's correct. Okay. So there is, and they would have, so it's an Amira Lenochri. He said, Mira Lenochrim. What's the Mira? So it's very possible that it's a double drabana l'tzorech mitzvah. It's very possible that getting the elevator, it's a more complex question. Assuming that there's no problem with the elderly person going in the elevator. So let's say he's going up, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman says you're allowed to go up in an elevator. So the elderly person is right there. So he didn't ask the Shaila Friday, right? He's there. He went home from shul, and he's there, and he can't do the stairs. So then it certainly will be mutter. First of all, it's a shvus shalom mokim mitzvah. What are the alternatives? He's going to stay in the lobby. He's going to go upstairs and have kiddush, and he'll be there with his family. So that's a shvus to shvus to mokim mitzvah. Is it a mirror? It could be an amir, straight amir l'nachri, because if he's an elderly person, he's probably, he could be in the caddy. I'm not sure. Now with COVID, everybody who's over the age of 60 is an elderly person. But Mulligan side, it wasn't like that. So a person is older. I don't think we assume that he's, by definition, is a choyle. If he is, he can handle the stairs. That could be. Not handling the stairs could be a category of a choyle. He can't fully function right now. Okay. Yeah, if the alternative would be that he goes up the stairs and gets hurts himself, so then that would be mutter. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit more complex because it depends what if the alternative is that he misses this, he misses the Shalom Zachar. No, so maybe that's not such a terrible thing. So it's a little bit more complex. I have to know more about the situation. One of the situations that in those who are in the suburbs are familiar with is that sometimes people have construction projects, and they figure that it should be mutter to have their construction projects done on Shabbos because they don't see Jews working on construction sites. So that is much more complicated. That is a problem. Whenever a person does construction, there has to be at the very, very outset, there has to be a discussion between the people who are doing the construction and the people who are organizing it, who are hiring the contractors, that no work is done on Shabbos, right? Mm-hmm. And it's even better to put into the contract no work on Shabbos, Yom Tov, all the days, and that there is, then if a person really wants to be a takif, he can say there's a penalty if you send somebody in on Shabbos, and so that I'm not so familiar with how these things work. But it has to be very clear at the outset that there's no work. Why is that? Why isn't it an amira l'nachri? Okay. So first of all, it's a deraisa. Why don't you say it's a daitir nafshoi? Why don't you say, you asked this company to build the house and get it done by Erev Pesach. All right, you don't care if Pesach is great. He finishes it by Purim, even better. He finishes it by Hanukkah, even better. He's doing it for himself. He has a job. He comes with his truck, with his insignia. So it's a daitir nafshoi. I'm not telling him to come on any given day. So why is it that over here we don't say Daitin Nefshoi? So the answer is that there's a Maris Ayin that people might see somebody building a house for me, and they'll think, I hired him to come on Shabbos. So you'll argue, but everybody knows that you just hire people to do jobs. You don't hire this contractor to come on Shabbos, you hire him to do a job. So everybody knows it's a daitir nafshoi. So that is true. But the Rambam says that there's a din of maris ayin. People, I don't know that this person was hired to do the job. They don't know. Maybe he did hire him to come today. Now, would this be something other than one's home? So then we would be making, we wouldn't have this maris ayin. But especially since, in other words, if I give my shoes in to get fixed, so we don't say can't do it because somebody might think that you asked them to work on Shabbos. We say no, everybody knows shoes is a job, gets done by a certain time, you get paid to finish the job. You weren't commissioned to do it on Shabbos. But when it comes to mechubar, when it comes to a home, when it comes to something that's fixed, so then Chazal were more machmir and said there is a din of maris ayin, a very, very far-reaching din of maris ayin, that even though it is almost universal that contractors work for to do jobs and not they're not hired per day, they're hired per job, even though it's almost universal, the Rama still said that we have to maintain this din a maris ayin, that maybe somebody will think that they were hired to do a job on a certain day. And the fact is that it isn't so uncommon. It isn't so uncommon that when you're building a house that you'll say to somebody, I need this work done by Sunday because I'm having somebody else. The painter's coming in on Sunday. You must be finished on Shabbos, right? The painter's coming in. The guy who's putting the carpet down is coming in on this day. I need to have the cabinets in on Shabbos. So it isn't so uncommon that you tell a contractor, I want you working on a specific day. So there is still a strong argument to make that there should be maris ayin. And that's why when it comes to mechubar, when it comes to something which is a car and it's not a descript car, or it's a car that's getting fixed way out of the yishuv, so then one can be mekel. And it has to be adapted nafshoi. But over here, with your house, something gets fixed in your house, something gets fixed up in your house, you're expanding your house, whatever it is, on your house, so the heter of adapted nafshoi is very severely reduced because of the concern of maris ayin. And either maris ayin is doesn't make that much sense, but Chazal said that the maris ayin of an Eina Yehudi, of Mechumer, on Shabbos, we are much more machmer than the regular rules. The regular rules of maris ayin is what do rove people think. Over here, even though rove people would think it's mutter, we're still machmer. Okay? Now, one other situation where it's important to be aware of the ins and outs of an Eina Yehudi is in Yirtzeh Hashem, if you're entrepreneurs, when you set up your business. So it's very, very important if it's a business which, for whatever reason, the thinking is, the business plan is, it has to run on Shabbos. So then, but you can't run on Shabbos because you can't have your business open on Shabbos. You can't earn money on Shabbos. So one of the approaches would be that if it's your business, that's the end of the story. You can discuss with the rabbi to figure out how to make life a little bit easier, but that'll be the end of the story. Let's say you have a non-Jewish partner. So then there is a way of working out that the store can stay open with a non-Jewish partner. It's not easy, because if you come with your non-Jewish partner to the rabbi and say, let's work it out, it'll be very, very hard, because you'll work out an arrangement where you're getting a quid pro quo for him working at Shabbos. In other words, you're going to get the earnings of Monday because he's earning Shabbos, so then you are benefiting from Shabbos. But if you come to the rabbi before the business is set up and say, I want to set up a partnership in a way that I'm not involved in Shabbos, it's entirely his on Shabbos, so then that's a much cleaner and easier way to go, right? That's just bekitzer, because this is Al-Shei Ma'aseh, but something to keep in mind, that that these discussions should take place before the business gets set up. So let's summarize what we learned so far. Let's take a few questions, and then I want to go a little bit deeper into the idea of Amir Lenocher before we finish up. So we discussed so far the many of the practical issues of Amir Lenocher. We said Amir Lenocher is osur, but is a way of reducing Isurim for Pikuach Nefesh. We said Amir Lenocher is osur, but Chazal were Mekel for Achoyle She'ein Basakona to be Mekel under Rabbanans. And Amir Lenocher is your first choice to Rabbanan because of the distance that the Jew has from the Malach. We said that there's an unusual position of the Itur that allows us, the way the Rama phrases it, to ask an Einu Yehudi to do a Malacha for us if it's for the Tzibur, And if it's for the tzibah to do a mitzvah, like an Erev, so the tzibah will not be nichshal in caring on Shabbos, like having the air conditioning on, so people will be able to daven with kavana. Without air conditioning, it's very hard to daven with kavana without heating. So you're asking an Eini Yehudi to take care of that. To ask an Eini Yehudi to do something, and really it's a daita nafshoi. He's doing it now because he wants to do it now. So that is another situation where we can be makel. We said that a remez is not a kula, another code, to have a code set up so that I say I need it on Monday, and he says, oh, he's wearing a yarmulke, Monday is Shabbos, Monday is Sunday, Monday is Matzah Shabbos, that's also, that's called the remez, and that is still Amir Lenachri. We said that Mechuber Lakarka, when something is, you're building a home, you are you're fixing something in the house, so then even though the Eini Yehudi is doing it, Adayta Nafshoi, he wants to do it today. So sometimes we have to be more machmir, not always, it's not, but sometimes we are more machmir because it is a very far-reaching maris ayin. Somebody might think that I asked him to come on Shabbos, and therefore by Mechuber we're more machmir, even if most people don't, even if this industry does not work that way. Again, it's a far-reaching derbanan. If I have in my contract that this construction site cannot be open on Shabbos, and they still come, so I have to make one macha, but I don't have to drive myself crazy. I don't have to stand the guard. I don't have to lie down in front of the tractor. I did whatever I have to do. I put in the contract. I made my macha, and then I can enjoy my Shabbos. There's another issue also to be taken into account, and that is that it is very disturbing of the neighbors if people are working on my construction site, and I should have COVID for their Saturday and their rest as well. And then we pointed out that when it comes to running a business, so having an Eini Yehudi as a partner can facilitate a situation where the business plan only works with it being open on Shabbos. Again, these are things that different years, there are many, many years where rabbis would say, you know what, just don't do it. Have your business closed on Shabbos. It's not, that's not what we're supposed to do, to work it out. But there are years where things are harder to find parnassas, harder to find businesses, and the person's find the business, and it was hard for him, or Baal Tshuva, and so there are times when we do want to work it out to help a person have a business, a parnassa for the family, but then it's always important to work it out at the very, very beginning so that the partnership is one that I'm not at all involved in Shabbos. As far as I'm concerned, it's a business run 6 days a week. There may be an incentive for the Maishuta, the Eini Yehudi, to be involved with me, and I can give him an incentive for getting involved with me in a deal which favors him because he gets the Shabbos. But that can only be done before we begin the business altogether. Okay, let's look at the chat, and then I want to go a little bit deeper. This is a complicated question. Is one able to order a package from Israel, Motzoi Shabbos, from a company that delivers from America? If the shipment will be... Oh, you're in Israel. Okay. If the shipment will be sent and processed on Shabbos in America, but it's no longer Shabbos for you. Yeah, there is a machlokes about that. L'anius daiti, I would think that where you are determines your situation. In other words, let's say it's Friday. Let's make it easy. Not so complicated. Whoever asks this has a Gemara cup. Was able to ask a difficult question. I'll make it easy. It's Friday, right? And it's Friday afternoon. Can I arrange something in Shabbat in Eretz Yisrael on my Friday afternoon? So, as long I can't engage a Jew to do something usher in Eretz Yisrael, but to arrange for some Einu Yehudi, let's make it much easier. It's now Friday, and I want to 3 hours before Shabbos, can I ask a non-Jew in England to do a malacha for me? He says yes. The answer is yes, yeah, because it goes where I am, not where the inner Yehudi is. Yeah. So that's an easy way of, right? It goes where the person is, where the Yehudi is. Okay. Oh, when it comes to it's conceivable. There's a more complex and more nuanced question. Can one have a construction site in an area where there are really no Jews? So the answer is probably yes. As even because this, even though usually we are not Makel and Maris Ayin, in a situation where they're just Jews may not notice this, but this is a Chumr of Maris Ayin, there would be room for leniency, but you have to be very, very sure that there's no, is there a place where there's no Chabad house? I'm not sure. But you have to be very, very careful about that. Okay. Besides from Maris Ayin, why can't payment, for example, be part of Havlah? Oh no, the issue of the construction is having the goy do the malacha, not paying the goy for the malacha. It's having the goy do the malacha on my behalf. Having trouble getting this. There we go. Oh, that's why is builder and Shabbos different than a waiter? The answer only is that when it comes to mechuber, we are more machmer. The question is a good question. Logically, you're correct. Chazal, we're more machmer on Maris Ayin for something that is for a home, for a building. I assume it's because the high, I'm not sure, but I assume it's because the high profile. Because the high, I think we ourselves can imagine that if you have a construction site, a Jewish construction site working on Shabbos, that is much more of a Zilzul Shabbos and much more of a concern of the violation of Shabbos than you have a waiter who's washing your dishes. So I think it's because of the high profile. Oh, can you ask a non-Jew to unlock your hotel? Okay, this is, there used to be a time when people used to go to hotels. Ritzin will come back again also. So hotels, if you have, so the answer is yes. Why is that? Because the lock on the hotel is a drabbonon. It's underneath a deraisa. So I cannot do it frivolously, but I want to go out on Shabbos. That's my onik Shabbos. I want to go to the local minyan. I want to come back. So that's part of my onik Shabbos to have access to my room. So I can't go back and forth frivolously, but for onik Shabbos, so it's a shvus, the shvus b'mokay mitzvah. I can ask the non-Jew directly because I'm asking him to do a drabbanon. And that is the what most when the Jewish organizations have Shabbatons on Shabbos, that's usually how they work it out. And that that's mutter because, again, the shvus, mitzvah would not be mutter to leave the room open because that would be a violation of the ownership, right? And if I leave my room open, that means that I'm not guarding the hotel's property appropriately. That means the enemy can walk in and take the television, take the some of the furniture. So I can't leave somebody else's room improperly watched. It's part of my deal. Okay. Can work be done on Cholom Moed in a construction site? So that is also a complicated question. L'chanchila, we try to avoid it, but b'di'evet, if it would cause a hefsed, we are lenient. Why is that? Because there is a machlekes whether we are so severe for a miral nachri on Cholom Moed. The machlekes, the Ramah and the Nadav Yehuda. So because there's a machlekes as to whether it applies in Chol HaMoed, and because it's a very, very significant stretch, the Issa to begin with, because it's a Maris, it's an unusual Maris Ayin that we are not usually worried with. So that unusual Maris Ayin, which the Ramah says we have to have in Chol HaMoed, if there is a significant Tzarech, we would be Makel following the Neid of Yehuda. That was Rav Moshe's teshuva, that we are, when there's a need, we forgot to. It's very, very practical. If we did not put it into the contract, and then all of a sudden we realize he shouldn't be working Cholim Moed either. So the guy says, okay, so we're working Cholim Moed. Okay, so that's a nice, that goes well. But very often what happens is if a contractor doesn't work for 1 or 2 days, he comes back. But if a contractor doesn't work for a whole week, he begins another site. So he sends his workers to the other house he's building. Once they're on that site, it's very often very hard to get workers back to your site. So very often there is a significant hefsid, and therefore we often have to be mako on Cholim Moed in this situation. But again, why are we being mako? Because the chumrah is a chumrah maris ayin. Most people will not think I'm doing anything wrong, but because there might be some people who don't know that this particular melacha is done is hired per job, and somebody might make the mistake, and it's mechuber, so we don't know, but usually machmer for this. Chazal said, Shabbos, when it's a high profile, it's a building, we're machmer. But since it's a stretch chumrah, we can be mekel and Cholim Moed. We can be mekel and Cholim Moed when there's a tzorach. So now it's already very late, and you're all very, very good, Baruch Hashem. So let's just finish up. What we did now is we discussed many of the details of Amir L'Nachri. We didn't discuss the principle of Amir L'Nachri, because I thought it would be more interesting to do the many, many cases and then come back. I thought it would be boring to start with what's Amir L'Nachri all about, and then and then discuss all the details. So let's not forget, what is Amir L'Nachri? Why is it usher for me to ask a non-Jew? The Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I have a Shabbos. In fact, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Nachri Shel Shabbos is Chayav Misa. That Shabbos is one of the mitzvahs, Shabbos and learning. The Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that's a special bond between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. We say in the davening and Shabbos. So Yanuchu Moed, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give it for a non-Jew. So a non-Jew should not keep Shabbos. So why is it that I'm worried about that any Yehudi doing Malach on Shabbos? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me Shabbos, not any Yehudi. So there are two concerns. One concern, the Rambam phrased it, that we will come to make Shabbos light. We will come to say, no worry, we'll get a goy to do it. Right? Don't worry, we'll get a goy through the dishes and we'll get an any Yehudi to mow the lawn, and we'll get any Yehudi to make sure that the air conditioning's on. So we're going to be mezalzel in Shabbos. It's going to make Shabbos cheaper for us. Rashi's nusach is a little bit different. In fact, there are two Rashi's. Rashi in his Pirush to Shabbos says it's a problem of shlichus, agency. That means I am really getting something done. So midei raisa, I'm not getting it done. Midei raisa, I'm not turning the light. Midei raisa, I'm not driving. But in halacha, we do respect the idea that someone can do something for me if I commission him properly. So Rashi says, if I ask an Ein Yehudi to do it, it really is, as far as the Torah is concerned, mutter. Chazal said, but it's too close. It's as if I want this to get done on Shabbos, and therefore, as the Rambam says, it'll create a zilzul in Shabbos. And then Rashi in Masechta Avodah Zarah says that the reason is because we have a rule that on Shabbos we have to speak differently. Because Baruch Chazal, the Yishai Navi tells us that we have to Dabra Dover, we have to walk differently in Shabbos, we have to talk differently in Shabbos. What does it mean to talk differently in Shabbos? It means on Shabbos we don't talk about Chilu Shabbos, we don't talk about the things that are supposed to do on Shabbos. So if I ask an Eini Yehudi to do a Malacha for me, so then I'm talking about on Shabbos something that's also to do on Shabbos. So that's a violation of the Dabra Dovers. It's the all the commentaries, all the Mefarshim point out both Rashi's are correct. When I commission a guy to do a malacha on Shabbos, I'm in violation of two aspects of Shabbos. I'm in violation that I'm speaking in a vachadik way, I'm speaking in a weekday way, in a chol, I'm not speaking in a Shabbosic way. and I'm asking a guy on Shabbos to do something for me. I'm being mezalzel on Shabbos. I'm cheapening Shabbos. If I ask a guy on Erev Shabbos to do malacha for me on Shabbos, so then I'm not in violation of the Amar Domer because it's Erev Shabbos. But when he does this malacha for me on Shabbos, so then it will be attributed to me and I have cheapened my Shabbos. If I ask a guy on Shabbos to take care of something Matzoi Shabbos, so then I'm in violation of Davar Dover because I've discussed a Choldic idea on Shabbos, but I am not in violation of being a Malacha Al Yedei Goy on Shabbos. So that would be both Rashi's are correct. That's what Rabbi Reisman began. We began our shir by saying that Rabbi Reisman said, Amil Anoch is an Iser. It is Chazal protecting Shabbos. Chazal making Shabbos understanding where we're at and saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a certain kind of Shabbos. And Chazal then looks at people and says, in order for us to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu the Shabbos he wants, so we have to know the people, Basharu Sham, have to know what's on their minds, have to know how they want to do their Shabbos, and they have to know how Shabbos is going to be Shabbos for them. So the Chazal understood that if I have access to an Inni Yehudi, so it's going to be Mutter, but my Shabbos will end up being asking Goyim to do things for me in Shabbos. It's not going to be a Shabbos. So Chazal, in order to protect the Shabbos, to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu the Shabbos that he asked for, they gave us the din of the Iser Amir L'Nachri. In our lives, we know Amir L'Nachri is a Drabonon. And there were, I mean, you know, Amir L'Nachri is when it's a diet, it's for me, not for him. Otherwise, it's not Shlichus. So then, in those cases, the leniency, not the leniencies, those, then, in those cases, either Chazal allowed us, or it does not conform to the issue which they made. One of the most fascinating responses, one of the fascinating truths of Rav Moshe, is Rav Moshe said that Rav Moshe was of the opinion that we cannot use timers on Shabbos. Now, Rav Moshe's position is largely not accepted. We use timers all over the place. And even Rav Moshe knew that his position was a difficult position because he said, for light it's mutter. But in the tshuva, he writes a fascinating tshuva. He says, the reason he thinks timers are usur is one of the reasons because if Chazal said that I cannot do a malacha by an inni Yehudi, they certainly would not want me to do malacha via something which I orchestrated and put into motion. It's a kal v'chomer. Another human being has bechira chavshus can do or not. I ask him to do malacha for me, and that's osur kal v'chomer. If erev Shabbos, I can't ask a goy to turn on my light, but I can turn on my light via. And Rav Moshe then writes and all of the ideas that Chazal put into Amir L'Nachri, they would have for sure said a timer as well. It's a fascinating tshuva. And has not been widely accepted, except from the Lower East Side, not widely accepted, because we understand that halacha works, doesn't work that way. Halacha works, and whatever Chazal addressed, they addressed. And if Chazal didn't address it, then we don't expand the din of Chazal. But the thinking of Rav Moshe is so impressive because it really helps understand the idea of Amir L'Nachri. It really helps understand that our Shabbos would be a different kind of Shabbos if we would have access to a Nachri to take care of all the things. If it would be a mindless activity. So we covered most of, not most, but a good chunk of the halachas of Amir L'Nachri. And at the end, we explained the reason why Chazal made it Osir. And then we visited a very impressive approach of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's magnificent to see the way an Adam Godel understands. It also helps to understand what Chazal work. Now, Lu Yitzur, Rav Moshe was living in the time of the Sanhedrin, so this is how the Sanhedrin would understand. They would say, look, in order to have a Shabbos, we got to have, we can't have people doing also the weekday activities via machine. Okay. So so again, I thank you very, very much for the opportunity to review all of these halachas and to study them. And as Rabbi Bernstein put over here, that if there are other questions that I can be of help with, please, I'm happy to discuss it and to respond, if I can, to the various questions. But again, I thank you very, very much for the opportunity to come out again. The Yichim in such numbers is, as Rabbi Brinstein began, to your great credit, and Bezer Hashem, by reviewing these halachos, so we will have not only the mitzvah Talmud Torah, but our Shabbosos will be more magnificent Shabbosos as we go on. So thank you very much. Rabbi Brinstein, thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you, Rabbi Neuberger.